Shaletta is here as she always is. Funny, no Dean Phillips, no Shaletta. She's on the phone. She's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker hotline. Thank you for the beautiful picture, your family, that you sent me a couple days ago.
Was that amazing?
That's
Did we look good or what?
Really, really good.
Did we look good or what?
Just needed me. Just needed me in that picture.
You know, we ran out of space.
I would have looked tremendous.
In this seat
right
the,
in the middle.
In the middle, right. Yeah. Right where my mama was standing. Okay. Yeah.
She can go off to the side. Okay. I mean, the eye candy gets the eye candy position.
Right.
Know.
Okay. Show them legs.
Yeah.
Show those sexy legs of yours.
Yeah,
yes.
You're only human. Okay. Let's. You're only on for one segment, so we're going to get serious now.
What?
5 years ago, Sunday, is when George Floyd was murdered by Derek Chauvin. You are an entrepreneur. You are a female. You are a black female. How do you feel like your opportunities and your treatment are now compared to the days, weeks, and months before what happened to George Floyd?
I think there is a story that sums this up really well. George Floyd died and was murdered during COVID. Everything is shut down, right? And, we were in the house the month before his murder. And so, thankfully, the folks at the Family Achievement Center where my kids were going to therapy were able to make a swift transition. And they were able to get speech and OT and PT services online. And so my son, Brandon, was going through his annual evaluation with his therapist. And she said, okay, one of these people is a community helper, police. She had a picture of a mailman, a picture of a nurse, and a chef. And she said, pick which one is going to come and help you if you're in trouble. And so my son sat there, and I was kind of off to the side doing something with some of the other kids, and I ran over to her, and I said, hey. He's not going to pick any of these because he's not been taught that the police are here to help him. He's been taught that the police are here to do a job. And if they ask you to do something, you go ahead and comply. But what you are not going to do is believe or be led to believe that the police are going to come and help you. They're not your friends. They're here to do a job. And if they ask you to do something, you follow their instructions. And so she kind of miffed me off, and, you know, because her experience was not my experience. She's a white woman. I'm a black woman. And she went on through the test, but I needed her to make sure to not mark him wrong on that answer. Well, a few weeks later, George Floyd died. And she called me back on her personal cell phone at night and said, I understand now why you chose to inform me about what you do with regard to how you teach your kids about the police and why your son wasn't able to answer that question. I didn't know before, but I do now. One of my best friends, Susan Pawhowski, we've raised our kids together. We got married 1 month apart. She was at my wedding. I was at her wedding. Her kids have been raised along with my kids. They're around the same age. They were at Andrew's graduation party. You might have bumped into them. She's always called me a helicopter mom, and she's always...
That's an understatement.
She's always said, why do you tell your kids that the police are not your friends and that, they are supposed to just follow commands? And that's just wrong, Shaletta. You shouldn't do that. Well, her experience wasn't my experience. And after George Floyd died, she picked up the phone and called me and said, I get it now. And so I had a lot of I get it nows. There's one thing for people to be told something. It's another thing for them to see it for themselves. And when George Floyd died, they saw not just George Floyd, but they saw my sons because they care about my sons. And that's why when people say Black Lives Matter, it's not that the Black life matter, it's that my sons matter. And so for people who have real Black friends and they care about their sons and their daughters, when you see something like George Floyd happen, you immediately start thinking about the Black people in your life who are close to you and how some of the things that they may have told you that you didn't understand before you understand now. You know, as a business owner, there were some companies in town who made some promises. And some of those companies kept their promises, right? Comcast, Bremer Bank, United Healthcare. They diversify their ad buys. They work with black business owners. I still have relationships with some of those companies today. But then there were other companies like Target who made promises and then didn't keep them, had to be, you know, feet had to be held to the fire, and then finally they came around. But, you know, a lot of that was performative. And guess what I did? I took the performative money and the real money and built my business. And so as an entrepreneur, sometimes I tell people, did you get your George Floyd money? Because there were companies who wanted to work with us that would have never worked with us before. Because George Floyd died, and I hope you got an opportunity to work with these major corporations in town and got your George Floyd money, because it's gone now. But now what I have is a relationship with some major Fortune 500 companies that allows me to be wealthy that I would never have had before had George Floyd not died. I wouldn't have access to the CEO of United Healthcare. I wouldn't have access to some of the vice presidents at General Mills or the CEO of the Mars Corporation. I wouldn't have been invited to the going away party for Jeanine Crain, the CEO of Bremer Bank, had George Floyd not died. How about this? Can we bring it on home? I wouldn't have my radio show. I have been begging John Hanson for a show for years. I've been filling in for you, sniffing up everybody's butt, filling in on the morning show. Anybody out the sick, I'm just sitting on the bench waiting to come in like the sixth man off the bench. And they didn't give me a show. And then when George Floyd died, they realized that they had white guy after white guy after white guy hosting shows. So they were getting the same perspective. And I remember John Hanson calling me and begging me to co-host Corey Hepler's show. And I told him, hell no, because you had this opportunity to give me the job and gave it to somebody else. And so now you need me because our city is burning down. And Sean had to remind me after I cussed him out and hung up on the phone. He said, what is your prayer every day? And I said, for $1 million? He was like, no, the other prayer. And my prayer every day is that God would make me the answer to somebody's problem. He said, now WCCO Radio has a problem. They need a diverse viewpoint. They called you. You've been waiting for this call. Go do the job.
So let me jump in on a couple of things.
My show.
Yeah, let me jump in a couple of things. Number one, John Hanson's a liar. That's my dealings with John Hanson, and I will send it's just a fact. He is, and I'm glad he doesn't work here. I hope he's doing well, but he lied to me over and over and over again, including when I defended you, and it was none of his damn business. I will also say this. You know, our station here with you and Henry and formerly Geraldine, we have more diversity here than a lot of other stations in town.
Amen.
And other stations that when individuals write this, we come up a lot. And I think it's really funny that other stations that are very successful, it doesn't come up. So I'm rather amused by it. So I want to say this. I know we only have one segment here, so we got about 4 or 5 more minutes. I will never have your experience. You will never have mine, right? But let's stay with yours, because this is rings more true. You also know that my life has been very different than the typical white guy. I mean, the last woman I dated for 8 years is not a white woman, okay?
Right.
My mother, her closest friends were black. I attended a black church dozens and dozens and dozens of times. My father's business exposed me to diversity. My business exposed me to diversity. Mm-hmm. My good friends are non-whites, including you. And I get what you're saying. I do worry a little bit, though, because I still believe that a high, high percentage of police officers are good, are great, are fabulous, are decent. Now, I also understand the data on stops between me and you isn't close. It's just an indisputable fact in many areas of this country. If I'm driving the same car that Shalette is, the amount of time Shalette is going to get pulled over compared to me, it's disproportionate, it's unfair, and it's racist. Now, I still believe that as a small percentage of officers, it's not that small, it's too big, and those individuals should be isolated, they should be fired, if there's an opportunity to give any leeway, maybe, but highly doubt it. I just worry when you say that to the kids and other people who value your opinion so much, who know that there are officers who feel that way. What does it do to the other officers who treat people the exact same way if you say officers are not your friend?
Well, I have to make sure my kids are prepared. And I'm not telling them that officers are bad, right? And I work with police officers. I go around the country partnering with police departments in every state I can to give away these interior combination door locks, whether it's the Sutton Police Department or Washington County or Cottage Grove or Houston Police or Fort Bend County down in Texas. I work with police. I'm not anti-police. But what I need my children to understand is that the police officers are not to be played with. Right? Because they don't have at 17 and 18 years old and at 12 and 13 years old a discerning spirit to know or get a sense of this is a good cop or this is a bad cop. So we just need to make the playing field level. Listen, they're here to do a job. Their job is to keep you safe. Their job is to keep everybody safe. So if they ask you to do something, don't talk back because I don't want them to die. Right. Mm-hmm. Don't get into an argument with the police officer. Like, you can get out of your car and you can argue with the police officer and you can live to tell the story at the golf club. If I get out of my car and I argue with the police officer, I'm putting my life on the line. Same for my sons. So I need them to have the education and information that, listen, they're not bad. They're just not your friends. They're not to be played with. So if they ask you to do something, you do it and you don't talk back. Right. If you get arrested and you didn't do anything, go ahead, get in the back of the car. There's no fighting. There's no arguing because you might not make it home if you do that. Right. And then when you get down to the police station, call your mama or call our family lawyer and let somebody else fight for you. But you don't fight for yourself. You do what you're told. They're not to be played with. If the police tell my sons stop or I'll shoot, they don't mean slow down. They don't mean ask me any questions. They mean stop or you will die.
It's a conversation we will continue another day. I wish you well. You know I love you. Are you on tomorrow?
Love you too. I am not, but I'm on Almanac tonight if anybody wants to see me. I've been practicing with the Timberwolves because I'm going to help them win game three. And so I'm at Target Center. Sure. I got my uniform on. You know, I'm throwing balls to Ant-Man and stuff. So if you want
anybody
watch
else,
all that
any
fun,
other appearances you want to promote? Are you on a Common later this afternoon? The Current? Carol Evan, I mean, good to know.
I think you said I'm the only person other than your father who comes on CCO to promote the other stuff.
That is very accurate. There's a lot of similarity. Thank you.
I love you.
Speaking of the Wolves, we were going to talk Wolves at the start. Then we started talking the weather music and weddings. We are going to talk Wolves with Mike Breen, really the voice of the NBA. He's been calling NBA Finals games since the aughts and a longtime friend of mine. So he's going to join us. About 2:35, but let's talk a little Wolves right now. Simple text, are they done? Are they cooked? Because they've been overwhelmed by a team that won 68 games, and they are no longer playing the overrated Lakers, and they are no longer playing the Stephless Golden State Warriors. Are they cooked? Series, the cliche, let's toss it out. Normally, it doesn't really start until somebody wins on another team's home court. Now, there's some truth to that, but oh, by the way, if Oklahoma City just keeps winning on their home court, the series is over. So I got some thoughts. Do you have how about this? Let's go this way. Either they're done, yes, they're done, no, they're not done, or 0 to 10, how likely is it that the Wolves still can win this series? I'll give some data when we come back. 651. 461-9226. What is our music theme, Lindsey Brown?
Covers. Covers maybe you've heard of, maybe you've not.
Yeah.
But this is Feeling Good by Muse.
I like it.
Nice.
I enjoy it. All right, the Wolves, are they cooked? Am I wrong next? Mike Breen on the same topic in about an hour. Among the Texers, they hit a better team next year. I don't need any data to know the Timberwolves season will be over soon. They had their ass handed to them by a much better team the last two games. I don't think those are optimistic texts. Then the next one, relax, enjoy the series 8. It will go to game 7 before it gives some data. There's a couple texts. Rita wants to chime in. Go ahead, Rita. You're on CCO.
Well, I'm tired of sportscasters saying, oh, they've never come back. A team's never come back from 3-0, and now we're 2-0. Well, let it be a first time. If they're never going to come back, why play any more games? You know, just give it to that 3 team. I'm sick of hearing that.
You're done with it.
Yeah.
Okay, so if they lose, the next game is Saturday. If they lose that, they're then down 3-0. Are you still a believer?
Yes.
Let's keep going. Monday, fourth quarter, they're down by 15. Still a believer?
Yep, still a believer.
Buzzer goes off. Oklahoma City is now the winner of the series, 4-0. Still a believer?
Yeah, still a believer.
All right, like the optimism. Thank you, Rita. All right, where do we go here? All right, the similarity between the two games is troubling. Right where the end of the halves, first half, terrible both times. And then just destroyed in the third quarter. Just absolutely destroyed in the third quarter. Game one was a 17-2 run. Game two, it's a 23-7 run. Right now, 53-20 in turnover points. The points in the paint, huge advantage for Oklahoma City. The defense of Oklahoma City, I don't think the casual person who is a sports fan, maybe not a regular season NBA fan, appreciates the brilliance of this team. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander right now is better than Anthony Edwards. By a lot? No. But he's better. So give him credit. But watch the if you see replays, and maybe it changes tomorrow night. Maybe it will, because in the fourth quarter, Ant was a lot better, a lot more decisive, and I'll get to the lineup switch that Finch made, which may have helped it. But look at the spots Shai Gilgeous-Alexander gets to against the Wolves defense, where they're still a good to very good defense team, whereas the other team is historically good. Since the manhandling and some of the physical play went out, in the aughts, over the last 20 years, to me, this is the best defensive team I've witnessed in the NBA. I'm not comparing them with the Pistons. I'm not comparing even with the Bulls and how great they were defensively. But look at the star defensive players they have. Dort is tremendous. Caruso is tremendous. Shea's really good. Jalen Williams is pretty good. Hartenstein is pretty good. They come off with – they have four guys who easily could be all defense, and they have three others minimum who are good to very good. And they're causing the Wolves all sorts of issues. Now, let's get to this part. The Wolves played a Laker team that was overrated. Just a fact. Maybe they'll be different next year. Maybe Luka won't be 30 pounds overweight. Maybe LeBron will be healthier. Maybe they'll add more. But the Lakers just weren't that good. The Warriors kicked the Wolves' butt in game one. What would you say, was it 40 minutes of that game without Steph? But after that, if that team plays an entire year without Steph Curry, I think they're about the 11th or 12th best team in the Western Conference. And how many times did all of us say, not just me, God, they're really not playing that great. That in the first 10 games, you get 40 quarters. How many A quarters did they play? Six, seven, they just were better than those other teams. And I get this is an enormous step up to by far the best regular season team in the league. Maybe they won't win the title. Maybe the Wolves will still come back. But nobody was close to Oklahoma City in the regular season. So if you're not playing your A game now, you're done. It's as simple as that. You are done. They don't need to just win one of the games at Target Center. They need to win both of the games at Target Center. And if they lose Saturday, she's done. I got it. I know you're still listening, Rita. Sorry. I got to be the realist here. They're not winning four straight games against this type of juggernaut team. How about some plus-minus numbers? How about when Mike Conley is off the court in the two games? The Wolves are a minus 60. Two games. He's got to play more. Dante, where the hell have you been? He's minus 47, and we know he wasn't very good in the first two series. Nas is minus 27 in the two games. Rudy has been irrelevant in the first couple games. Now, they did go to that smaller lineup in the fourth quarter, which opened the floor up. That is a reminder. Again, remember, Randall, Rudy, and Dante, who's smaller, obviously, didn't play that three-game cluster. And that's when Shannon was playing and Clark was playing. You're still, we know this from Finch. He's going to be patient, and he's given his eight guys probably more leeway than a lot of us think. And a lot of times, more often than not, he's right. I think the hook's got to be quicker. I don't think those of us who pay attention are that surprised that Randall didn't play the fourth quarter, because he'll sit anybody for extended period of times, even Ant, probably not as much. But Randall, after I sent out a tweet at halftime of the first game when he had 20, saying, who's clear-cut playing better than him in the playoffs? And I get Brunson's in the mix, Halliburton in the mix, but clear-cut, since then, he's been lousy. So I'm going to give him about a two to still win this series. But it starts and ends by winning both games at Target Center. That doesn't happen. Look ahead to the draft. Am I wrong with Lindsay, with Dave's disclaimer? He's very proud of his disclaimer. We'll play that after traffic and weather on CCO.
The following statements have not been evaluated by, nor do they necessarily reflect the opinions of the Am I Wrong Committee.
Even the Am I Wrong Committee needs some time off once in a while. So you won't be hearing this today.
Dave makes it phenomenal.
Oh, you're so kind. And correct.
That was edited.
God, Dave, you're right. You're so right, Dave. Edited. You're amazing.
Yes, we will miss that today. But please welcome in place of the committee, Lindsey Brown with Am I Wrong?
By the way, this is the guy today who attended a 10 to maybe 10:30 preschool graduation party.
Oh.
10 to 10:30.
In the garage or at the school?
Well, at the school, the ceremony.
Okay.
With ice cream. By the way, he can't handle a cone. He has to have it in a cup.
What? No cake cone?
He can't handle it. His poor tongue dexterity. It's embarrassing.
The coordination's off, you said.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he can't even make it in here. I mean, he's day drinking right now. So that's the bar for you. Now, let's remember last time you did this.
Yeah.
You suggested it'd be better if the Wild's opponent scored against them potentially multiple times on the power play. Among the dumbest things offered ever on WCC Radio. Normally in hockey, you want the team you want to win to score the goals.
Right.
Just thought
and not get scored on.
I would remind
think
you
I would know better as a goaltender.
College goaltender might know that, but I don't know.
I still kind of stand by it. Maybe not the multiple goals, but I still kind of stand by it. It just depends how you're looking at it.
I stand by the Titanic, too. Man, that looked like a good ship. Really good.
Hey, it ran well.
Ran well.
You can't say it wasn't fast.
Ran right into something really well. All right, let's go. What do you got?
All right, I got a random assortment of thoughts here that I've accumulated throughout the week. Am I wrong to rather clean up blood than my least favorite condiment?
Hold on a second. So the option is cleaning up blood
or
consuming.
No.
Or cleaning.
Cleaning it. Not even consuming. Touching it.
Yes.
I am anti-white condiments.
Is OJ here? What are you talking about? I mean, what kind of psychopathic murder? So, you know what I'd rather do? I'd rather clean up blood than relish.
I thought blood would be the most PG thing that we could probably bring here without getting people too curled up with. But I can't stand like mayo, ranch, any sort of white condiment.
We're there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just can't stand it.
Thank you, my sister. We're together on mayo and ranch. They're both disgusting.
Tartar sauce? Ugh. Whoa, pump the brake.
If it's spicy tartar sauce, then I'm a total fraud. I can be a total hypocrite. If it's got a little horseradish in there, then I kind of like it. Kind of like, but yes, I would still rather clean up. Like, how much blood are we talking? Are we talking equal amount?
Probably equal amount. I would even go as far to say that I would clean up more blood. Like a pool of blood versus like a dollop. No thanks.
Dan, get in here now. Okay. It's, I mean, we've reached the level of, would you want to confess anything right now?
No, no, so I like just figured, like, I'm okay with blood. Like, some people are very not okay with blood or seeing blood, touching blood. Like, I'm all right. I've done first aid and stuff. So, to me, that seems like an easier thing.
You've done first aid, so that makes you okay with blood.
I had to hold my teammate's leg together after she got sliced with a skate. Holding it while it was getting stitched up on the bench.
So if she was holding the sandwich right then at the same time with mayonnaise and a little bit spilled on her breezers, you'd be more comfortable with
the blood.
The blood coagulating all over the place.
O negative, A positive. It doesn't matter to me. I'll clean it up.
Lane, fire her later today before she kills me.
So if something really bad happens, I'm a great person to call in an emergency.
No, not anymore. After this last one.
Right. What I've been watching these days is a little bit different. I'm not a huge reality TV person, mostly because it doesn't really reflect reality. It seems like a big waste of time. But I've been watching The Secret Life of Mormon Wives, and I think that is a better recruiting tool than any other mission that's ever been embarked on.
Wow. Okay. I am in a stretch where I've not watched much reality TV, but I have over the years.
What's your favorite? You like a Survivor guy?
I would say some of the Bachelor seasons when there were three or four just bat bleep crazy and hot women, you know?
You're only human.
Yeah. I mean, I'm an adult male who likes attractive women. You know, this is not like a big shocking. Whoa, what a revelation that is. So I like them crazy and hot if they're on TV. Just kind of normally
there's
attractive.
There's a separation there.
Normally just attractive in my life. Not always that way. You think a recruiting tool for just Mormons?
Yeah, for the lifestyle.
So, explain to me the show. What is so unique about this show?
So this show is centered around a group of women who have basically...
They're already Mormons or are they converted?
They're already Mormon. They're married. A few of them have kids. They're mostly in their early to mid 20s to early 30s.
Are we Utah here?
They're in Utah.
With my guy, Charch.
Yep, with Charch in Utah. Great place, Utah. But they are the center of this influencing group basically called Mom Talk.
Mom Talk.
Mom Talk. I don't know if they're speaking for all moms.
That's got to be a lot
Mormon
of Mom
moms,
Talk, right?
But there's influencer houses that you could go live in and just produce content for particular
things. What a gig.
This is the gig. And what they say gig. That this is what their gig is, except they live in their separate houses. So they show up. They make TikToks with one another. And they go on excursions. They get sponsorships.
So you're suggesting this is that the Mormon population is going to grow so exponentially that, like, the Uncle Sam poster for our military, Uncle Sam will be cowering in the corner compared to this goofy show.
I want you to be a mother for the Latter-day
Saints. Yeah, there you go. They're very good. Now you'd be Aunt Sam, right?
Yeah.
I guess I need to watch the show. Is there blood and
no blood.
Tartar sauce on the show
I haven't seen
also?
Tartar sauce. They don't really eat. These women seem so starving. Like, they're just starved.
They're really, really skinny?
They're really skinny.
Are they... Okay, should I go with the stereotype here? Are they married to, like, four people?
No, they're not.
None
they're
of that.
Not
None of that.
No,
okay.
No, it's just more of the traditional man and wife, kids get married young. A few of them are divorced well.
Are the guys feature much?
Some of them are. Some of them aren't. It's a very interesting kind of just... study to see how the roles are reversed when women are mostly making the money for their families within the Mormon church.
Oh.
It's a very interesting, like, kind of gender swap.
So is that all of the dynamic or some of it?
Some of it.
Okay.
And some of guys handle it and some of them don't. Like, one of the guys, like, gave up medical school. And I was like, that's fascinating to me.
Gave up medical school because the other person, through influencing, was making so much
money.
That he's now staying home and taking care of the kids?
I don't know if he's staying home and taking care of the kids, but I know that he's not going to medical school
he's
in New York
anymore. He's just golfing now?
I by the way, what they do.
By the way, any guy who's mad that his gal's making a lot of money, what the hell is wrong with you?
Right.
Bravo.
Jackpot.
Yes.
Jackpot.
Even better. Okay, you're crazy. We'll continue when we come back. We'll all have a cognac and take a break. I don't think I've had a cognac in my life. I just thought it, for some reason, cognac came to mind. Stretch lab. Maybe Lindsay needs a little stretch lab time. Maybe, you know, I don't know, the hamstrings. I got to be honest, lately, my calves. I don't know why. I mean, we said this toe issue, which is, I might cry if I literally talked about my toe issue. It's a major, major problem in my life, and it's just depressing the you-know-what out of me. Maybe Stretch Lab, when I go there next week, we'll try to take a look at the toe, because I need some help. Stretch Lab will help you out if you're crazy, and what are you, like 28, 29? How old are you?
33.
Crazy in 33 or even crazier in 59, okay? You're fit, you're not fit, you're a biker, you're a golfer. You're going to feel better. Get that mobility back. Get that range of motion back. See trained specialists, good people. If you want to talk a lot, they'll talk a lot. If you want silence, they'll give you silence. And also, half off, because you're listening. 11 locations. StretchLab.com. I've been going since 2019. I keep going on a regular basis. You should also. StretchLab.com. The timing of that liner was hysterical. This text, you keep talking and interrupting. It's hard to listen when more than one person is talking at the same time. Jason is the worst. He keeps saying like as if he's a teenager, interrupts and talks over his guests all the time, and obviously thinks he's the funniest boy in the room. Just take it easy. Less hyper behavior, please, and thank you. Is this person 270 years old? I mean, lighten up, Francis. Take the stick out of your booty. You know how conversations go? They go back and forth, have fun. If you're looking for, hello, let's talk about if the airport is crowded. Call me. Boring. This is not it. Right. Back and forth, fun, silliness. And also serious talk. We cover a lot of serious stuff on the show. I'm about to talk about a dream next hour that depressed me. But it was also a statement, so... But Jason does think he's the funniest boy. That's the only part of this is true. So in other words, if you try to tell a joke or two or have fun, you think you're the funniest boy. Honestly, this person's 374 years old.
That's a real boy. I promise.
Was that Mickey Mouse?
I don't know.
Who was that?
I don't know. There's just a lot of voices.
What other voice can you do?
I can do Stitch.
I'm about to see that tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, are you? I'm boycotting it, I think.
Yeah, well.
They're not staying true to Pleakley.
Quentin and his young adult group of other kids with significant health issues.
They're pumped.
They get together.
Yeah.
And because Q has seizures, I can't just drop them off and leave them.
Sure.
So tomorrow, as a 957-year-old person myself, I'll be all in for Lilo and Stitch. Give me a little Stitch here.
Okay,
I'll remember that tomorrow. Can I just start playing TikTok in the theater?
I don't think that's
probably not
allowed.
I don't think Q would appreciate that, and I would never, ever, ever do that. All right, crazy woman, what's number
crazy
three?
Woman. Oh, I suppose that is my name today. Am I wrong for hating the fact that NFL owners voted to permit NFL players to participate in the 2028 flag football games at the Olympics?
What, do you hate America? Don't you want to see America win the gold medal?
I certainly think she can do better. There's people that play.
Jason just texts.
Flag.
I'm hilarious. Okay, so text her. Jason doesn't think he's the funniest boy. He thinks he's the most hilarious boy.
There you go.
Do you think anybody's really going to do it?
Yes. You don't think that like Patrick Mahomes is like, I want a gold medal. I don't think it.
Yeah,
I want a gold medal.
Yes, yes, you're right. You're right. What sort of pressure are the teams going to put on?
I suppose some teams more than others. If you're the Kansas City Chiefs, what more could you do for brand awareness? Like, everybody and their mother knows that you exist. But if you're, say, like a Kyler Murray with the Arizona Cardinals.
Well, JJ seemed excited.
Oh.
The original JJ.
The original JJ?
Not the new JJ, who, by the way, too young to be having a kid. Come on.
You think?
J.J. McCarthy. Let's
isn't he like 25? No, he's 23, isn't he? He's a youngin'. Yeah. He's only been here for a year.
It's like 25 would be major difference for having a kid.
I don't know. I mean, I think anything before 30 now is kind of weird.
Congratulations, but it seems young, right?
Yeah. Well, congrats.
Will it do nothing for me? I don't know. Will you watch it?
Will I watch it because of NFL players? No. Will I not watch it because of NFL players? Maybe. Because I feel like there's people that have put forth, you know, all this effort, their time, or their flag football professionals, and that they're just getting pushed out of the way.
Bottom line.
By Justin Jefferson, who we love, but like, come on.
I should be the quarterback with an It's a Football because I would be the star. So, Donald Trump, reach out to me. I'm the It's a Quarterback. Hit the button. Let's go.
Am I wrong?
No, let's go. Hit the break for the end of the hour.
You want to go?
Yeah, let's go.